November 14th, Chaturthi Yam Sarana, Bhajan Rahasyam, Nadanana Janana Sundaram, last class of 2005.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Radhar Shivasri Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So today we begin discussion on the fourth verse from Shikshastakam. Nadanana Janana Sundarim Kavitaham Va Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Ishvare Bhavatad Bhakti Ahoitiki Tayi. And there's one translation here. I'll read another one from Chaitanya Charitamrita. O Jagadish, I do not desire wealth nor followers, nor do I desire beautiful poetry or any type of mundane knowledge. O Praneshwara, my only desire is to have unalloyed devotion unto your lotus feet, birth after birth. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in this Chaturthi Yam Sadhana, he explains that this represents ruchi. This verse is describing the qualities and thinking of a devotee who has risen to the level of ruchi. Adoshara tata sarusanga bhajana kriya anarta nivirti nishta then ruchi. So this is a very high level of practice and advancement. So this is practicing, he calls this practicing on the level of taste. One actually has a taste for the lens of devotion. And he introduces, now this, there's a small introduction we wrote in our notes. In this verse, in the third verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described a positive proposition wherein a progressive devotee accepts and cultivates four qualities: humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respecting all, in order to become steady in devotion and attached to the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. The devotee tries to acquire these positive spiritual qualities: humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect for all. In verse 4, however, Lord Gauranga presents a negative consideration. Verse 3 was a positive consideration. Accept these. Right? Anukulyasya sankalpa. Sankalpa. Accept these. These are anukul. They're favorable. Accept these. Or somehow or other, develop these. Now, in the verse 4, he gives pratikulyasya vajanam. So in one sense he's describing limbs of sharanagati, limbs of surrender. So here, this is the negative consideration. Here the advancing devotee must give up all connection with the sensual happiness of this material world. So in verse 4, Mahaprabhu is saying, no, he's saying, nah, right? Na dhanam, na janam, na sundaram. Na in Sanskrit means no. And as everyone knows, hearing from Srila Prabhupada, anything spoken in the Vedas, when it's repeated three times, it has deep import and very absolute emphasis. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gattir Anyata. A mother may advise her child or warn her child, don't go to the lake, because it's maybe deep water and he may drown. So she says once, and then she looks at her son again very seriously, don't go to the lake. I said, listen, don't go into the lake. So the son has heard three times. He may still, with his independence, go into the lake. But at least she's emphasized her point, her desire, her wish, her command, her intention by emphatically stating no, 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 three times in succession. So in the same way, Mahaprabhu is establishing in the fourth verse of Shikshastakam a negative conception. No, no, no. He's also saying no three times. No, as he's saying, no wealth, no followers, no sundaram has different meanings because followers includes women, men, etc. But no poetic knowledge, sundaram kavitam, no tendency to be allured to heavenly delights or celestial pleasures, swargamukti, nandakananan, or the various flowery words of the Vedas. So no wealth, no followers, and no aspiration for some material gain in a higher planet, propelled by interest in the materialistic section of the Vedas, Karmakanda. No, no, no. So, this is a small introduction. Here the advancing devotee must give up all connection with the sensual happiness of this material world. He must even give up the spiritual desire for liberation. Because he also says no to that. He doesn't say by word, but he said, I'm prepared. Mama Janmani Janmanishwari. I'm prepared to take another birth as long as I can serve you unconditionally. So here, basically there's four no's here in this verse. Nothing, two no's are for this terrestrial plane of the earth. No wealth, no followers. The third no is for the celestial domain, swarga, jenalok, mahalok, tapalok, swargalok, etc. So no, this world, women, wealth, followers, I don't want. Oh, what about heaven? Nandakanana, so much delight, long life, healthy, sensual power, vast sense enjoyment. No, I don't want that either. Well, what about liberation? Every good spiritualist wants liberation. Every yogi, every jnani, every Vaishnava, even of the other schools of Vaishnava thought, they're certainly interested in the Purush Artha, the Chatur, what is it, the fourth goal of society, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So moksha is legitimate. Moksha is legitimate. Moksha, mukti. It's permissible for a spiritualist, for a jnani, for a yogi, for a Vaishnava. Vaishnava mukti. There's four types of Vaishnava mukti. Lord Chaitanya is saying, no thanks. No. We're also Vaishnavas. But not, we don't so much care about Vishnu mukti or Vaikuntha mukti. We only want that we stay under the feet of Srimati Radharani. That is all we want. Whether here or there or anywhere. There's one Hindi bhajan. It's very nice. It says, Radharani Age, Radharani Piche, Radharani Vaya, Daya, Upra, Niche, Bar, Under. And it goes on like this. And it's saying, Radharani's in front of me, Radharani's behind me, Radharani's to my left, she's to my right. Radharani's above me, she's below me, she's within me, she's without me. Every word I speak is about Radharani. Every thought I think is about Radharani. Every desire I have is connected with Srimati Radharani. So in this way, this Hindi bhajan is indicating total absorption and a pleasing service and moment-to-moment association with Srimati Radharani. So we don't exactly know the bhav of this. I mean, we know something of the bhav, but whether it was Paliyadasi bhav or a Sakhi bhav, but it seems to indicate something what we would refer to as Paliyadasi bhav or Manjari bhav. So Mahaprabhu is telling that here, no, 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 and no. No to this earth planet and all the things, and no to the higher planets, and also no to liberation. Oh, wait a minute, no salvation, no liberation, what is this? This is a short, this is not a good deal. We're working so hard, we're endeavoring so much, and we're not even allowed to desire liberation. This is very unfortunate. So in this fourth verse, Lord Chaitanya is shooting out four no's. No, 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 no. No happiness from the terrestrial plane of dhanam and janam, wealth and followers. No happiness from the heavenly plane or celestial plane with the sundaram kavitam. And then finally, and no happiness in liberation. No, don't try for that either. No salvation, no mukti. Maybe you can move a little bit. Maharaj, aye. Pujipad Srila Dhanadhar Maharaj Ki Jai. This reminds me of Gopi Vastraharana. The gopis were, you know, for 30 days they were performing tapasya, and then on the last day of their vrata, then Krishna came and took their clothes and took their hearts. And so this is our last class, and we were also missing our Guru Vai, so I think this is very auspicious.
Everything that I gained now has been lost.
Hare Krishna. Jai Ho Maharaj. So we wanted to conclude yesterday because we finished Trinadapi Sunichena. But somehow there was some resistance. So, because I said if we start the fourth verse, where will we go? In 1 hour we can't go very far. We have to suspend the classes until next year if we're all in this world and of one mind and being able to be here and continue the fourth. At any rate, we're just reading some introduction to Nadanam Najanana Sundarim Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmanishvari Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahoitakitai. So we must even give up the spiritual desire for liberation if we want to realize, a devotee must even give up the spiritual desire for liberation if he wants to realize his pure spiritual form, Shuddha Sarup, is a technical term. To accept the embrace of Sri Nam and relish the divine ambrosia of Sri, to accept the embrace of Sri Nam Prabhu and relish the divine ambrosia of Nam Ras, a sincere devotee must especially give up the embrace of women, family, followers, wealth, and mundane knowledge. In this verse 4, Lord Chaitanya is describing the heart of one who is tasting the joy of Nam Sadhana and relishing the bliss of devotion at the stage of Ruchi. Very nice phrase. So in this verse, Lord Chaitanya is describing something. Although we initially we're saying this is a negative proposal, verse 3 is a positive proposal. Accept these four qualities and then you will very soon come to Nishta. So that's very positive. Oh, I become humble and tolerant and respect all and not any respect for me. I become prideless. And then my chanting will become very, very steady, free from anarthas and aparads, and then I will come to Nishta, Nishchita, Bhakti. That's very positive. And then this verse, Lord Chaitanya says, but then he gives a negative. It's as we were saying, it's anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. So this is a pratikulyasya. No, 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 no. Four no's. No dhanam, no janam, no sundaram, and no desire for liberation either. So it sounds very negative, but actually, as we heard from this last sentence, that in one, it's negative on the outset, but on the internal, it's actually very positive that when one comes to the level of Ruchi from chanting Nam, then he has such taste in Nam Bhajan that he Tuchavat, right? It's, what is that? Tektwa Turanamashesha Mandalapati Shrenyam Sada Tuchavat Mandalapati, the lordship of the Mandal, be lord of the Mandal, Mandalapati Shrenyam Tuchavat. It becomes insignificant. You can be the lord of the entire Jagat Mandal, the entire circle of the universe, and think it's insignificant. Why? Because you're tasting Nam Ras. Nam. So, women, wealth, followers, liberation, heaven, Swarga Mukti, Vaikuntha Mukti. Oh, what me worry? Right? What me worry? What do I need? I have Nam. The Guru has given Nam, and I have Nam, and that's all we need. So that, in that sense, then it sounds very positive. When Lord Chaitanya is giving the symptoms of the positive symptoms of someone who is at the level of Ruchi and tasting Nam Ras, you'll feel all these joys. Because the entire world, everyone is running after these things. Wealth and women, followers, position, prestige and pride. And then if you look at the spiritualists, they're all running after liberation. Either the Advaitins and Mayavadis are running for Kaivalya Mukti, Brahmasayuja Mukti. Even the Vaishnavas are very interested in Mukti, Silokya, Sharsti, Samipya. Salvation, emancipation. I want out. It's so bad. Oh Vishnu, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Please uplift me. Save me. Save me. As you see so many prayers in the Bhagavatam, they're all saving prayers. Everyone's praying, save me, deliver me, deliver me. And Lord Chaitanya is not saying that. He's saying, I'm already delivered. I've received the holy name. I'm delivered. Because this is the mood. So this some titles of this verse, fourth verse, from Bhakti notice, he's telling it's of course Ruchi Bhajan, Madhyan Kaliya Bhajan, that this is of course Madhyan Leela comes up here, and this is the fourth pair of Yuga Nam. This Krishna Krishna was Nishta, and then this is was it Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, this is Hare Hare, right? This represents Hare Hare. And it's practicing on the level of taste. And now there's some other editions of this book, they give title, What is the Desire of the Sadhaka? Another title for this verse, Nadanam Najanam, Unalloyed Devotion. And third title, The Only Desire of the Pure Devotee. So his only desire is to be absorbed in Ahoituki Bhakti. Anywhere, anytime, any place, chant the holy name, be absorbed in serving the holy name with pure devotion. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada also, we read one quote, he gives one quote from this verse. And then Lord Chaitanya speaks one verse in Bengali to explain the meaning of the verse. Nadanam najanam sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye Mama Janmani Janmanishvare Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahoituki Twayi. Srila Prabhupada's translation. O Lord of the universe, I do not desire material wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, or fruitive activities described in flowery language. All I want, life after life, is unalloyed devotional service to you. That's quite exactly accurate word for word translation. Then Lord Chaitanya in Bengali, he speaks this verse, which is in quotation marks to indicate that it's directly spoken by Mahaprabhu. Dana jana nahi magan kavita sundari shuddha bhakti deha more Krishna kripa kari. So this is the you can say the Bengali version of the Sanskrit verse by Lord Chaitanya. He says, My dear Lord Krishna, I do not want material wealth from you, nor do I want followers, a beautiful wife, or the results of fruitive activities. That's very similar. Dana jana nahimagan kavita sundari. Kavita sundari. And the translation of kavita sundari is a beautiful wife, or sometimes it's described as beautiful poetry. Kavi, Krishna's Kaviraj is a poet. And Sundari means beautiful poems or sweet language. In this case, it means sweet Maya. Kavita Sundari, a beautiful woman. A Sundari means beautiful, a beautiful female. And Kavita apparently also means that. I only pray that by your causeless mercy, you give me pure devotional service to you, life after life. Shuddha, Shuddha Bhakti Deha More, Krishna Kripa Kari. So he's saying, Krishna Kripa, O Krishna, do Kripa. Kripa Karo, right? People say Kripa Karo, Kripa. So here, to keep the meter and the melody of the verse, it's Kari instead of Karo. Kripa Kari, do Kripa to me, Krishna. What Kripa? Give me Shuddha Bhakti. Sometimes devotees, they have a question, well, can we pray to Krishna for things like because we're supposed to pray just for service. Krishna, please engage me in your service. Can we pray to Krishna for pure love or for pure bhakti? Well, it certainly seems so from this verse of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's saying, give me, he's almost like commanding. Karo is quite a commanding term. It's not a humble verb. He's commanding. He says, Krishna Kripa Kari. He says, Krishna, you give. You must give. I'm commanding you. Karo. Pram Karo. And you go to Mayapur and you attend Mangalarti. After Mangalarti, there are all these Bengali pious people, yatris, pilgrims who have visited there, and maybe spent the night, I would assume so. And they're attending Mangalarti. And there are hundreds of them sometimes. 100, 200, so many. In different December and different times when there's break, holiday from their school or whatever. And they're standing there, and then the praying dwani goes on, Jai Niti Lila Vrishtam. And they're still standing there, and some Bengali will invariably announce in the microphone, Sab log, pranam karo! Pranam karo, pranam karo! Everyone get down. Everyone. This is what you have to follow us. We're all bending down, and you're all standing up. It's often, because we've seen in the Gaudiya Math, when they do praying dhwani, usually they stand. So sometimes when I was in Mayapur, I'd be standing during praying dhwani, and I would see all the Bengalis are also standing, and then this brahmacharya, pranam karo, and everyone's, oh, everybody gets down, like this. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's saying, you do mercy, and you give me deha, shuddha bhakti deha, data or dan, you give me it. Please do mercy to me, Krishna, and give me pure bhakti. So in this verse, in the elaboration or illumination by Mahaprabhu, he's indicating that there should also be a mood of prayer when doing bhajan and chanting the nam bhajan. According to this verse, it is a prayer, it's a shiksha, it's an instruction, but it's also prayer, and the mood of the prayer is given by the one shloka in Bengali. Lord Chaitanya is speaking here. Oh Lord Krishna, please, you give me mercy. All this dhanam, janam, sundaram, all these things, they're so much attractive to me, and I'm so much possessed and obsessed with all these things. Can you please just do mercy, do kripa, give me mercy, take all this away. And by the way, one thing I do want, take all this away and give me shuddha bhakti, give me pure bhakti. And in the Bengali phrasing of his verse, Mahaprabhu doesn't mention anything about birth or rebirth or this or that. He says, you give me kripa and give me shuddha bhakti. And basically, these words frame the prayer of every single sadhaka. Every single sadhaka, not only does he approach the Lord Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya is doing, and saying, please give mercy to me and give me pure bhakti. We also approach the advanced devotees, guru, shiksha guru, diksha guru, or elevated Vaishnavas, wherever we may go, and we say, please, kripa karo, please give mercy upon me, please bless me with pure devotion, with shuddha bhakti, and then they touch your head, and it's okay, don't worry, and, mangalam bhavatu, whatever, they'll give a prem bhakti bhavatu, rajbhas bhavatu, this, that, and so they give blessings. So Lord Chaitanya is in that mood of, in one sense, begging, yet demanding, yet commanding. Oh, please give mercy? No, you give mercy, O Krishna. Karo, kari, kripa kari, give mercy. And the mercy I want is that I attain shuddha bhakti. So this now, we, as per our format, generally we break down the verse into the different words and try to understand more about these words based on various commentaries that collected here and there. So this first no of the four no's in this verse, the first no is no wealth, nadanam. No wealth, or let's say the desire for wealth for one's personal enjoyment. And we see that Prabhupada had so many bank accounts in L.A. Sometimes you can see, if you go in Prabhupada's room, some of his personal effects are there, or used to be there. And they had some of his bank books are there. And he had La Cienega Bank and this bank and that bank, so many banks. I mean, we see in Prabhupada's letters, he's always writing letters to different leaders. Transfer 25,000 from this account to that account, this and like that. So Prabhupada was so much with the dhanam, so much wealth. I mean, this money type wealth, what to speak of, prem dhan, the wealth of prem. But he had no attachment to it, one penny. I mean, he never tried to enjoy one rupee for himself. Everything was for the Lord's pleasure. The word dhanam refers to the wealth of religiosity. I'm mentioning money. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that dhanam refers to the wealth of religiosity, dharma, which comes from following one's prescribed duties within the Varnashram dharma system. In other words, if one follows Varnashram dharma, and he follows Varna dharma and Ashram dharma. So dharma, in the Vedic literature, there's something called dharma shastras, and there are about 20 of them altogether. And in those shastras, they prescribe different yamas and niyamas, rules and regulations, patterns of behavior, eating, thinking, acting, charity, and dealing, and so many actions for the people in different varnas. So if someone follows diligently the teachings within his varna, for example, Shudra, if he's a Shudra, he's a very good Shudra, and he follows all the rules and regulations of Shudra Varna. And he's pious, but he hasn't attained pure bhakti, or maybe even been initiated. At least he's religious to some extent. Then, in next life, he'll get a human body as a reward, as the dhanam, as the wealth of his religiosity. He will attain a human body and be born in a Vaishya family. Shudra, then Vaishya, then Kshatriya, then Brahman. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that one should not care. I mean, he's saying that, Lord Chaitanya is saying, the dhanam means the wealth of religiosity, which is attained by following one's varna and ashram. For example, if someone's a sannyasi and they perfectly execute all the rules and regulations of sannyas for 100 births or something like that, they can attain the post of Lord Brahma. I believe it's mentioned like that. So that may be very appealing to some people. They really have a creative urge. Someone has a strong creative urge, they can aspire for that. So this is also rejected. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is. Lord Chaitanya is saying, dharma, that with this word, nadanam, like Sri Krishna is saying, sarva-dharman pratyaja. So that's why it's told that Shikshastakam contains everything. In 8 shlokas, it contains all sambandha, all avideya, all priyojana, from the most basic concept of aham brahmasmi up to maranakya mahabhav. They're all compact and contained within the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Shikshastakam. So Bhagavad Gita is about 700 verses to bring one to sarva dharman pratyaja, to abandon all your dharmas and surrender to Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya covers it in 2 words, nadanam. The entire Bhagavad Gita is covered in 2 words, nadanam. No wealth of religion. No sarva dharman pratyaja, forget it. Don't aspire for any of the wealth of dharma. Throw it out. So this word dhanam refers to the wealth of religiosity, and also refers to all types of desires for material enjoyment, here and in heaven, and all enjoyable items like money, property, etc. And there's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He himself gives some discussion here. Number 2. Bhakti Santa Saraswati, it's very interesting how they're following each other here. He's saying that Bhakti Santa Saraswati is saying that dhanam refers to wealth, the wealth or artha, economic development. So the father and son are having slightly different viewpoint. The father is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says that dhanam refers to dharma. And then his son says, dhanam refers to artha. And basically, it's a similar, in terms of material understanding, it's similar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in this Bhajana Rahasyam, he refers to this Nadanam in a few verses, right in the beginning, in verse 2. He gives some small commentary on this idea of mundane wealth. Mundane wealth, the title of this verse is Mundane Wealth and Other Enemies of Devotion. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 9, Verse 6. And the verse is like this. Tavad bayam travina deha surin nimittam shoka spriha paribhavo vipulascha labha tavan mamet yasad avagraha artimulan yavan nate grim abayam pravinita loka. As long as a person does not take shelter of your lotus feet, which remove all kinds of fear, he will be tormented by anxiety, sorrow, hankering, wretchedness, extreme greed, and so forth, caused by wealth, home, friends, and relatives. That's interesting. This verse is telling us that we will be tormented by anxiety, sorrow, and hankering, wretchedness, extreme greed, which are caused by wealth, home, friends, and relatives. I don't know if each one of these entities creates all these problems, or whether one creates each one. In other words, home. If we have some attachment for home, then we will be tormented. We will be tormented as a result of that attachment to home or house. We will be tormented by anxiety, sorrow, hankering, wretchedness, and extreme greed. And if we have some, we can see it like that. And if we have some attachment to our mundane relatives or family, then we will also be tormented by anxiety, sorrow, hankering, wretchedness, extreme greed, and so forth. It's extremely powerful verse. Such a person will maintain the misconception of I and mine, which is the sole cause of unhappiness. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is citing this verse in relation to this mundane wealth, and the dhanam, this kind of elaborates on this concept, dhanam. There's a purport here. Persons who have never heard Hari Katha are not inclined to serve Hari. They use their time, wealth, and strength in mundane activities, and they maintain the misconception that I am the enjoyer. They will suffer due to their inclination to enjoy. In other words, although they are in distress, they still endeavor to obtain that which is unrelated to Krishna. The sole cause of this is illusion. Forgetting that Krishna is their only near and dear friend, they establish friendship with persons averse to Krishna and remain fearful of the devotees. It is only by the merciful disposition of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas that the living entity can be delivered from these sufferings, and the desire to serve Bhagavan can arise in his heart. In other words, the inclination to serve Bhagavan, which is technically called Bhagavat Seva Vritti, will manifest in his heart. The living entity then realizes his own intrinsic nature, as well as the intrinsic natures of Bhagavan and illusory energy. And then he engages all his senses in serving Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas. So this is purport. This is text 3. Mundane wealth and other enemies of devotees. There's a couple other verses. Bhaktivinoda Thakur addresses this point of Nadanam. Also in text 9, this is from Naradiya Puran. It's a comment. In other words, while doing his own bhajan, personal bhajan, and meditating on Shikshastakam, this fourth verse, Nadanam Najanam, then he would think of the different words in the verse, and how to elaborate upon them, or how to clarify that concept for the sadhakas, for the bhajan, sadhakas doing bhajan, how to clear the obstacles in their bhajan and improve the quality of their bhajan, and ultimately to deliver this ruchi that's available from chanting the holy name of the Lord. So in text 9, he also discusses dhanam. He says, only accept what you need. A devotee should only accept as much wealth as is necessary to maintain his life. And Naradiya Purana states, Yavata syat sunirvad baha swikuryat tavadartavit atikye yuntayamcha chavate paramart paramartata. A sadhaka who needs to maintain himself will collect only as much wealth and other material necessities as are required to maintain his bhakti. To accept too much or too little will surely make him deviate from his goal. So, this is pretty straightforward. That comes in category of atyahara, not collecting too much or collecting too little, where we may fall ill or become disturbed. We need the basic wealth to maintain our existence. The purport is telling, a person qualified for Vaidhi Bhakti should earn money to maintain his life through prescribed virtuous means. That is according to Varnashram Dharma. It is auspicious to accept assets only according to one's needs. Craving to accept more than necessary creates attachment, which eventually or gradually destroys one's bhajan. Accepting less than necessary is also harmful. This will create insufficiency, which in turn will weaken one's bhajan. Therefore, as long as a person is not indifferent to material things, he should cultivate pure bhakti and accept only those assets that are required to maintain his life. In other words, last sentence is saying, if someone is a Niskinshan Bhakta, or a Kinshan Bhakta, he's come to that level of complete dependence on the Lord, that he doesn't care if he has a rupee or no rupee, or any shelter or anything. He'll just wander around here and there, sleep anywhere on the ground of Vrindavan, and beg some madhukari. But if we're not on that level, if we haven't become indifferent to material things, then we should act accordingly and maintain our existence. There's one story about this dhanam concept that we saw, very kind of a funny story that we could repeat here. That there was once Lakshmi and Narayan, Lord Narayan and his consort Lakshmi. Narayan, he challenged his wife, he said, in this material world, what do people want more? Do they want God or wealth? Wealth means dhanam in this case. So then they did an experiment. Once upon a time, Lord Narayan was quarreling with Lakshmi Devi. People in the world, they desire me more than you, Lakshmi Devi was telling. She said, Narayan, people in this material world, they want me more than you. They want Lakshmi, they want money more than God. Because Narayan is Bhagavan, God, and Lakshmi is his consort, represents wealth. So then he said, all right, let's test your proposition. So then Narayan disguised himself as a sadhu baba. And he went to a dharmashala. And while he was there, he did very sweet kirtan. And the owner of the dharmashala was very attracted to this sadhu baba's kirtan. He said, he said, please, sadhu baba, can you stay here for a few days and do kirtan? It's very good for my ashram, my dharmashala, and also I like. So then Sadhu Baba, who is Narayan disguised, he said, okay, I will stay in one particular room for doing kirtan, and I won't go to any other room. Then the owner of the dharmashala said, oh, Baba, Sadhu Baba, no problem. You can stay in this room as long as you like. I won't give this room to anyone else, no matter how much money any other pilgrim may offer me, I definitely won't give this room to anyone. Meanwhile, Lakshmi Devi disguised herself as a yatri. She disguised herself, not much of a disguise, but she disguised herself as a princess. And she arrived at that same dharmashala that Sadhu Baba was staying in. And then, it's kind of an obvious story, but then she told the owner, she said, I hear this nice kirtan coming from this room. I want to stay in that same room where Sadhu Baba is staying. That room must be very auspicious. I want that room. And I'll give you 1,000 rupees a day to stay in that room. And usually it's 10 rupees a day, right? And that room is very auspicious and a very good vibration there. You just send that Sadhu Baba to another room and let me stay there. So then the Dharmashala owner, he went to the Sadhu Baba and he said, Maharaj, you have to move. I need to give your room to someone else. Then Sadhu Baba said, but you promised me, you promised me that you would not give this room to anyone else. And then the Dharmashala owner said, Baba, come on. I mean, you know, we're worldly people. Do you know that a princess has come here and offered me 1,000 rupees a day? So how can I suffer such a loss? Just go to another room and don't give me a hard time. Sadhu Baba tried to resist the Dharmashala owner. And then the Dharmashala owner insisted, listen, Sadhu Baba, if you don't move to another room, I'll throw you out and take your belongings and throw them out in the street and then forcibly eject you from that room. Doesn't sound very good for Sadhu Baba. So seeing this, Lakshmi and Narayan disappeared. Obviously, Lakshmi won. The people in this world are more interested in Lakshmi than in God, or God's representative as a sadhu doing Nam Kirtan. So Narayan said, all right. Devi, let's go to another place. Let's go to another place, and if you win again, I'll be completely defeated, and your proposition will be upheld. The people of this world are more interested in Lakshmi than God. So now, Narayan again took a Sadhu Baba disguise. And this time he visited the home of a great devotee. And Sadhu Baba performed very sweet kirtan. And the devotee invited Sadhu Baba, please stay in my home in this room. I have a guest room. You stay here for a few days. Then Sadhu Baba said, I'll stay here under one condition. That if someone comes to your house and offers you a lot of money to rent this room, then if you don't move me from this room, I'll stay here. Otherwise, so then the devotee said, no, I won't give this room to anyone, even if I'm offered 10 million rupees. So then Lakshmi Devi came disguised to that same house of this great devotee, and she offered a huge amount of money for the same room. And the devotee said, oh queen, keep your money, go away. There's a great devotee living in this room from whom I receive great spiritual wealth. What use is there in the insignificant wealth that you're offering me compared to this wealth that I'm getting from hearing his pure chanting and having him stay in my house? So this time Narayan was victorious. So what's the conclusion? The conclusion is this. Lakshmi Narayan showed that no one can get free from the desire for wealth without the grace of Bhakti Devi. Because a great devotee obviously had the grace of Bhakti Devi. Otherwise he couldn't have turned down that queen's offering of so much. And that is a little story about Dunham. Very kind of simple story, but that's Bhakti Devi, that's the conclusion. If Bhakti Devi comes into our heart, then even a few drops of Bhakti Devi, then we can walk out on the whole world. All the worlds. And this text 14 is also one more verse here also. This is text 14, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing the the insignificance of the four goals of life. So this artha, nadanam refers to art, dharma art. Well, Bhakti Siddhanta says art, Bhakti Nosa says dharma. So these are two of the four goals of life, dharma, kam, moksha. So in this verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur introduces this verse by saying, it is useless to be anxious about attaining the four goals of life, which are dharma, artha, economic development, satisfaction, and freedom, liberation. So he quotes Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 4th chapter, 15th verse. Kanvishate parasarojabhajam sudur labor teshu chatur-shvapiha tatapinaham pravinomi bhuman bhavat padamboja nishevanat-sukha. O Lord, it is not difficult for one who has taken shelter of your lotus feet to achieve the four goals of life: religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Nevertheless, such a person who takes shelter of your lotus feet, he does not desire them. O Great One, he is not concerned with anything other than rendering service to your lotus feet. So the devotee who's taken shelter of Nam Bhajan, engaged in Krishna's service, he doesn't care anything about the... Because he has as his goal, as Lord Chaitanya, Panchama Purushartha. Purushartha, the desirable goal of the man, or the human being, Purushartha, the desirable object, is prema seva. The inherent dharma of the living entity is a tendency to serve, seva vritti. The devotee therefore desires the fifth goal of human life, Panchama Purushartha, which is prema seva. He does not accept the threefold designations of religiosity, or economic development, and sense gratification, nor does he accept liberation, which is free from material designations. The impersonalists strive for Sayuja Mukti, which the devotee always completely rejects. And Narada Pancharatra, in the first book, in chapter 1, verse 34, it states that all kinds of liberation are automatically accomplished by devotees who perform pure devotional service to Hari. Not only are they accomplished, but they follow the devotees like maidservants, always ready to serve them. That Prabhupada would quote that verse from, it was Bilva Mangala Thakur, the one phrase, Mukti Swayam Mukulitanjali Sevate Sman, Mukti Swayam. So the personification of Mukti stands with folded hands, Mukulit Anjali, to waiting to render service, Mukulit Anjali Sevate Sman, waiting to render service to the devotee. It doesn't even, liberation, for one who is a devotee of Ravana Krishna, doesn't even think liberation is like his maidservant. Devotees reject the five kinds of Mukti, Sayuja, Sarupya, Samitya, Salokya, and Shashti. Excluding Sayuja, however, the other four are not entirely opposed to bhakti. They are of two kinds. Sukhaishvara Yotara, which means liberation tainted with the desire to enjoy the Lord's opulence, and Prem Sevotara, liberation in which the dominant desire is to serve the Lord for His pleasure. Because there is some desire for personal happiness in both of these, those who are devoted to unalloyed service to Bhagavan, consider them opposed to loving service, do not accept them. So this is describing the four kinds of liberation. Two of them are described as, says there are two kinds, Sukhaishvaraya Otara, desire to enjoy the Lord's opulence, and Prema Sevotara, liberation in which the dominant desire is to serve the Lord for His pleasure. So does the desire, the type of liberation where one desires to enjoy the same opulence of the Lord, that is called Sharsti. Sharsti, to have the same wealth as the Lord, big palace in Vaikuntha and so many servants. And then the Sarupya or Samipya, and Salokya also, to live on the same planet as Narayan, Salokya, that's also Sharsti and Salokya, these two types of Mukti, They are called Sukhaishvaryottara, tainted with the desire to enjoy the Lord's opulence, and Prema Sevottara, liberation which the dominant desire is to serve the Lord. This means Sarupya or Samipya. Sarupya means one has the same form as Lord Narayan, and Samipya means one lives in close association with the Lord, which will mean he'll have a service relationship based on love. And Dasya Bhav, it's not, at most it can be Dasya Bhav, with lots of shanta, lots of awe and reverence. So devotee doesn't want anything, doesn't want any of that. The second word, nadanam, this is nadanam, na najanam. Najanam means no followers. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that janam refers to physical relationships for comfort, such as the physical relationships of wife or husband, children, servants, friends, relatives, and subjects. So the term the janam means people or persons, so it includes all categories and all types of jana, male jana, female jana, friends, servants, house servants, all these type of things. Very nice definition. He's giving physical relationships for comfort. This is najanam. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, say no to this. We don't want any physical relationships for comfort. Comfort, discomfort, it doesn't matter. We carry on. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur refers to this in verse 5 in Bhajan Rahasyam. Najanam. No. He says that in this regard, you don't accept unqualified disciples. One should not increase the number of his unqualified disciples. That's a very interesting way it's being phrased here. This is the translation of the Bengali introduction to this verse, which Bhaktivinoda cites by himself. One should not increase the number of his unqualified disciples. You would rather think it would say one should not increase the number, or one should not initiate unqualified disciples. But here, the way it phrases is that you already have so many. You already have a number of unqualified disciples, and you shouldn't increase the number. I would rather like to think that the disciples of the Guru are qualified and that we should not initiate unqualified. But anyway, one should not increase the number of his unqualified disciples on a pretext of spreading bhakti. And this is explained in 7th canto of Bhagavatam, verse 13:8. The shishyan anubhannita grantan naiva yasid bahun navyakyam upayunjita narambhan arabet kuchit. One should not, the translation of this Bhagavatam verse, one should not make many disciples for material gain, nor study many books, nor give discourses on Shastra to earn one's livelihood. One should also give up large undertakings. So, there's the purport here. While explaining the duty of a sannyasi, Devarshi Narada told Yudhisthira Maharaj, sannyasi should roam about, be devoted to Narayan, and be a well-wisher of all living entities. He should not engage in any occupation to maintain his life, nor should he engage in discussions only for the sake of debate. He should only accept objects that come through begging. He should not be attached to literature that discusses temporary material subject matters, like newspapers. Nor should he, for material benefit, give mantras to unqualified persons to increase his number of disciples. He should not show his scholarly talent, but rather he should study literature on bhakti and put these teachings into practice. It is unfavorable to pure devotion, and also a waste of time, to establish and maintain large temples to make a show of opulence. Many kinds of unqualified persons will take shelter of such temples, and their devious activities will defame the society of sadhus. Saintly persons should perform bhajan under the guidance of their superiors, following the path designated by the disciplic succession, parampara. Only a sadhaka on the platform of bhav is qualified to make disciples, and he does so only for the welfare of society and the protection of the Sampradaya. The scriptures forbid unqualified persons from making many disciples. This is the viewpoint of the commentator on this verse. Because other comments on guru, they say if someone comes to the level of madhyam nishta, madhyam kanishta, this is considered to be the platform nishta, then one has not come to the level of bhava bhakti. That person who is on the level of nishta, he could act as guru, but he's warned only to initiate very, very pious and pure-hearted followers, and not very many. And the disciples are also warned by Rupa Goswami and others that if one takes initiation from someone who's not on the level of bhava or prema or mahabhagavat, then he may get insufficient guidance on the path of bhakti. His doubts and questions may not be removed or answered by that sadhu sangha. But it's not exactly correct that only a person on the level of bhava can make disciples, according to many other shastras, but this is mentioned here. Certainly a guru on the level of bhava will be able to enrich his disciples with the highest realizations of the holy name, and the mantras that he chants or gives to them will more quickly and more deeply unfold the fruits therein. This is the idea. And there's a couple things here to consider. One thing is that there's Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. A Diksha Guru may establish one in the Sambandha Gyan with Krishna and give mantras to eliminate and remove a great amount of ignorance. And then with the assistance and the further input of Shiksha Gurus, who may be on the level of Bhava or Prem, that sadhaka can also attain, by hearing from those advanced Shiksha Gurus, the full potentiality of his destiny, even if his guru is not on that highest level. Because what will also happen when he takes shelter of Shiksha Guru, he may also hear mantra again. So, you have some burning desire to make a comment.
Yes, I want to speak on the words of my Harina Gurudev, Shri Gurudev Swami. It's really true. One time he said, stop diluting the way, avoid the way. Speaking about how everybody was taking so many disciples.
Yes.
And also something very important, he said, on your guru, you have 100% Krishna in your heart, can you give him 100%? The one who has 35%,
the one who has 50%. See, your spiritual master, Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj, Gaura Govinda Swami, was saying that what was that last part about 100%? What was that?
Only the guru
has 100% Krishna should you give your heart to, because only if he has 100% Krishna, he can give you 100% Krishna. Because many disciples took shelter of Srila Prabhupada, and certainly Srila Prabhupada had 1,000% Krishna, or 10,000%, or how many percent, inestimable. And they gave their hearts to as much as they could. But even in such a combination, they were not able to 100% attain perfection.
At the time of Harinami, was used to say, I give you Krishna, can you keep it? He said the story of a crow who really wants to eat some fruit, and he has to see a goldsmith to plug, and it's so hurry, very busy, isn't it? The instrument was ready, and he took it was so hot, and he died. So he used to say, I give you Krishna, can you keep it?
That's so,
it is origin.
Yeah, it's all fortune. And our fortune leads us to our mentor, and if our mentor is on that highest platform, then we have an opportunity to receive the highest fortune if we surrender unequivocally. What Bhaktivinoda Thakur is trying to convey here is that the word janam, as we heard the earlier definition, means relationships for physical comfort. So if a guru is, and then so Bhaktivinoda Thakur here, he's talking to not necessarily a neophyte or a beginner, but someone who is He's already on the level of nishta, because that was covered in Tritya Yam Sadhana. Now he's talking about someone who is somewhat approaching the platform of Ruchi. And now that he's approaching the platform of Ruchi, he may have some taste, 87% taste in the holy name, or 63% or whatever, and he feels inspired by Mahaprabhu, or maybe even his own guru is telling him to initiate. So for such a person, because here obviously he's not talking to a new bhakta here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is addressing this verse as a particular audience. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a specific audience in mind when he's speaking this verse in Bhajan Rahasyam. That one should not increase the number of his unqualified disciples on the pretext of spreading bhakti. So he's speaking to gurus here. And it's in the context of Ruchi. This chapter is about Ruchi. So if someone is on the platform of bhava and prem, Bhaktivinoda Thakur won't give this admonishment. He'll say, you initiate unlimited amounts. There is no restriction. And nevertheless, so many Vedic injunctions are there not to initiate unqualified. Guru initiates unqualified, he goes to hell, and so do his disciples. So that's all, so much told. Anyway, he's giving this as an elaboration of the word janam, which means no aspiration for followers. Once one of our well-wishing guru bhais, he was saying, all these years you're living by yourself, why don't you just initiate a couple? You have all these Indian students that come with you here and there and follow you. Why don't you give them initiation? Then they can take care of you. You know, you can be like your servants. They can cook or clean. And I said to my guru bhai, who was a very well-wishing guru bhai, I said, actually, the price I have to pay to initiate two disciples is not worth what I'm going to get in return. I wash a dhoti every other day or something and cook a little rice and broom the floor or sweep the floor. It's hardly worth the price I have to pay. And if I really require some servants, I can pay 60 rupees a day and hire someone to come and clean my house or clean my kuti or whatever. You know, if that's the issue, if I need some servants to cook or clean, it doesn't cost much in India to maintain a servant. And any number of godbrothers would willingly offer me money. Oh, I want to keep one servant for cleaning and cooking. Will you pay for this? Oh, yes. And somebody would pay. So, it's not exactly the motivation why we initiate some disciples. I need someone to cook and clean for me. Anyway, it's interesting. And then repeatedly, as the years would go on, because we've been here for some time, and then this same idea would come up. It's a very humorous idea. Then, this in the Dhanam Janana Sundaram, this particular verse, the different supporting verses where he's describing Chaturtha Yam Sadhana, they don't so much lend themselves to being elaborations on the different words of the verse, rather the last term here, Ahoitaki Bhakti. Practically, the majority of the verses that Bhaktivinoda cites are discussing this idea. Because if we put all of our energy into that, striving for that, unmotivated or causeless devotional service, and emphasize that and strive for that, then automatically all the other Nadana Jana Sundaram, it's all gone. But at any rate, we'll just finish going on here. Yes.
This is only like about
24 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes. Before you end, could you again perhaps discuss the relationship between the verses and our focus on the holy name?
Yeah.
And our entrance in Leela? I have to say, just I went the first 10 or 15 days, and it was extremely helpful for my japa, just the, you know, the concept and the thing, but still, further realization would be good.
Okay.
Yeah,
fine. Then we'll do that. And we'll, because it's based on Yuga Nam, so in the very beginning, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur first introduces this, some of the ideas of what he wants to discuss throughout the book, in Pratham Yam Sadhana, before he even quotes the verse, this Cheta Dharpana Marchanam, he gives a whole elaborate description of the different pairs of names, because this is the whole idea, is Yuga Nam. So that, we'll review that and then try to discuss.
I'd like to hear actually some of your personal realizations.
I've been giving that,
Okay, how you apply it.
Okay, then I'll do that. So, first in quick summary, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying here in Bhajan Rahasyam, he's creating a synthesis between the eight pairs of holy names and the nine steps of devotion, Ado, Shada, Tata, Sarasanga. There's nine steps there. There's eight pairs of holy names, and there's eight shlokas in Shikshastakam, and there are eight periods, there's eight lilas. The Yastakali lila of Krishna are going on through eight times of the day. So these are, we have lila, we have Shikshastakam, we have Yastakali lila, Shikshastakam, Yuga Nam, and the nine steps of devotion. So these four, these are the four practices or concepts that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is synthesizing in his presentation of Bhajan Rahasyam. So the most important of all the four is the holy name, Nam Bhajan. So in the, he's explaining that by that each one of these Yuga Nams, the key is the Yuga Nam. The key is the Yuga Nam. And by chanting the Yuga Nam, as we mentioned the other day, each Yuga Nam, Hare Krishna, is like, you can say, you divide your heart into eight chambers. And each chamber, one Yuga Nam is residing there. So when we chant the first Hare Krishna, taking the indication of his verses that describe this first Yuga Nam, the first Hare Krishna, then we cultivate bhajan according to the moods and mellows of those verses. And that develops our shraddha, our faith in Nam develops more and more, and we chant. And that, so our faith develops more and more, and then when we're chanting Hare Krishna, this first Yuga Nam, we're developing the quality of faith, which is contained in this Hare Krishna, first Hare Krishna, and then we're meditating on this Nishant Lila. We can try to practice meditating. We're only meditating. We're chanting Hare Krishna. And oh, Radha and Krishna are together now. They're in Nidivan. They're waking up. And this, you were here for those classes. So then, this is Hare Krishna, and this is Shraddha. And we're chanting our mantra, and we're thinking, when we're going through the Yuga Nam, we're thinking, at least what I was doing, is I was just meditating on this Hare Krishna. I'm chanting the full mantra. I was praying to Hare Krishna to reveal these things, and to reveal this level of pastimes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But Hare Krishna is this, is Nishant Lila. So while chanting Hare Krishna, this, of course, our practice is only beginning, but contained within Hare Krishna is Nishant Lila and Shraddha. So chanting Hare Krishna. And then a second step, you're chanting a second Hare Krishna. And this is Sadhu Sangha. This is Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti. And then, so these three qualities of levels of bhakti are contained in the second Yuga Nam, Hare Krishna. And the second Yuga Nam represents Nam Namakari. So, Nija Sarva Shaktis. So all your potencies are here. And so when you're chanting the second one, you're chanting and you're offering prayers, your own prayers if you want, or the prayers which are come in the form of verses of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, describing this, these prayers you're offering while you're chanting Hare Krishna, and say, oh Hare Krishna, please reveal to me the secrets of Sadhu Sangha, how I can increase my Sadhu Sangha, Hare Krishna. And then you increase your Sadhu Sangha by reading these verses, mixing your heart with their hearts, and praying for them to come in your heart through this second mantra. I also gave the analogy that each mantra is like a key. Each of the yuga mantras is like a key to open one of those eight chambers in your heart. And each of those eight chambers of the heart contain the Astakali Lila. So the second Hare Krishna, or Chaitanya's Hare Krishna, and with the blessings of Sarasanga, our bhajan becomes better, then anarthas start to go. And then we start to meditate on Pratak Lila. So we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're thinking of Pratak Lila. Because in Nishant Lila, Radha and Krishna are together, and Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna are together. And Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna are together, and Pratak Lila, they're also together. And this is Nanamakari. So all the potencies are there. All Krishna's Nija Sarva Shakti, all his potencies are there when we're chanting Hare Krishna. So chanting the second Hare Krishna, then what we say Sadhu Sangha. So on one level, you're associating with the sadhus in these verses, but on the other level, you're associating with the associates of Radha and Krishna. Because they are Krishna's Shaktis, right? So Hare Krishna, the second Hare Krishna, we're chanting the second Hare Krishna. Oh Krishna, you're with all your Shaktis. Your Mandris are there, your Sakis are there, your Sakas are there, your mother and father are there. It's Pratak Lila. This is what I'm thinking when I'm chanting Hare Krishna. And this is coming from chanting Hare Krishna. This Nija Sarva Shaktis, that they're all there. The mothers are rendering service, the gopis and mandris are rendering service, the sakas are eating and then they wrestle and like all this. So this is the intention. On the one level of chanting the second mantra, Yugalam, Hare Krishna, is that in these verses are encouraging us, avoid bad association, take good association. So that's called the Kripa Shakti Murti. That's the Kripa Shakti of the Nija Sarva Shakti. The Kripa Shakti is a good association of the devotees. But then another level of that is the Shastras written by the good devotees. So we're chanting Hare Krishna, the second one, we're also associating with Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Krishna's Kaviraj and their description of Pratak Lila. This is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then third Hare Krishna is Trinadapi Sunichena. It represents, as Bhaktivinoda is telling us, humility. So this is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, then the third yuga mantra is Krishna, Krishna. So here, although one is trying to meditate on why he's chanting Hare Krishna and Hare Krishna, meditate on Nishant Lila and Pratak Lila, but it's so far away. It comes and it goes, it comes and it goes, because the mind is so full of still so many anarthas. So this third mantra, Krishna, Krishna, this is a mode of separation. So there, one starts crying out, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Just crying out for Krishna. As we mentioned, when Lord Chaitanya is traveling South India, he's in the mood of, you know, Radharani crying out for Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey. So the third mantra, we're chanting Krishna, Krishna, we're saying, oh, these pastimes, they're so wonderful, but I'm so much, I can't hold them in my mind. I don't have sufficient humility. I don't have sufficient tolerance. I don't have sufficient, I'm not free enough from pride, pridelessness, and I'm not properly respectful to all living entities. Krishna, Krishna. So this third yugal, we're chanting like that and we're crying like this and feeling great separation. And then we're meditating on this third pastime, Purvan Lila. And when we're chanting this Krishna, Krishna, as we chant Krishna, we're chanting the full mantra, and when we think of Krishna, Krishna, then we read how Radharani is separated from Krishna. She's on the rooftop of her palace. She's calling out, oh Krishna, Krishna, just look at me. Only a sidelong glance. I know you're walking with your cows. You have one eye on the cow and one eye on your mother and one eye on Balaram. But with some sidelong glance. So when one's chanting Krishna, Krishna, and meditating on Purvan Lila, then so many nice moods of separation come from Krishna, Krishna. Because that yugo, that pair of yugo has this mood of separation in it. And this Krishna Krishna takes us into that third chamber of the heart where Purvan Lila is being enacted. So then coming into the fourth is Hare Hare. So Hare Hare, this represents Madhyan Lila. So now this is where I can't go very far. Because this represents Ruchi, Hare Hare. But in Madhyan Lila, you see there's Hare Hare, this yugal is there. This pair is there, Hare Hare. But Radha and Krishna are together in Madhyan. And there's so much, and they're experiencing so much taste. It's described that Radhakund, the tastiest pastimes of Radha and Krishna, although they have Julin and Jalkeli and so many things and Govindakund, Manasi Ganga, Pavansarovar, Yamuna, and many places in Barsana, they have all these same leelas. But here they're too much ruchi. There's too much taste in leela. So here we'll chant Hare Hare. And also the mode of separation is there, especially for the sadhaka that's not in bhav. So Hare Hare, he'll be chanting Hare Hare. And say, oh, there's so much ruchi here. This is Sambhog leela. As he says, and he said, in this Madhyan leela, it's Sambhog. They're enjoying together. But for me, for the sadhaka on the level of that's not on the level of bhav, then he's again in separation. And he's remembering, he's chanting Hare Hare. Oh, but you're having such sweetness, you're tasting so much sweetness here. And this represents Madana Madjanana Sundaram, right? The second Hare Hare. So he's chanting Hare Hare and say, oh, there's taste here. This ruchi is represented here. In this Yuganam there is ruchi. And oh Hare Hare, do you please give me this taste so that I can leave this other taste. Danana Janana Sundaram. So for the Ajata Rati Sadaka, he will be in this mood with Hare Hare. It's separation. It's Madhyan Leela. And it's Nadanana Janam. He's praying, oh Hare Hare, you represent Ruchi. Please give this Ruchi to me. So I have this Ruchi coming from Hare Hare. Then I don't want anything else in this world. I lose all my taste for this world. And then in this pastime, Madhyan Leela is so full of Ruchi. But because I still have ruchi for this material energy, for these dhanam janam, then I'm chanting Hare Hare. I'm knocking on the door in the fourth chamber of my heart. I'm knocking on the door. Hey, let me in. Hare Hare. Let me into this fourth chamber. I'm chanting. And there's a lot of ruchi in there. There's a lot of sweetness in there. I say, no, Baba. You still want to taste these other things. You chant more Hare Hare. So then that Hare Hare has to come to more and more mood of separation for the Ajatarati Sadaka. He's Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare. He's really... So, then the next is Hari Ram, Raman. Then, that now you have... This is Apurvan Leela. So now this is... this represents Asakti. Asakti. So... This I can't really say so much about many of these things. I can say in principle, but you're asking in direct experience. But what I do, what I'm doing, what I'm trying to do, when I chant Hari Ram, then I try again. I'm knocking on the door. I say, oh, now Radha and Krishna and I are together. This Hari Ram is Radha and Krishna together. Now you're together, but in your pastime in Apurvan Leela, now you're separating. Radharani's going to Yavat or Barsana, Krishna's going to Nandagan. And you're separated, and I'm so much separated from you. But please, now that you're separating, you please, you know, Hari Ram, you please bless me that I can somehow come to this platform that I won't be separated from your lotus feet. Hari Ram is, I want to be a particle of dust. Hari Ram represents Ayananda Tanushakinkaram. You're separating. Radharani, you'll go down this footpath, and Krishna, you'll go down this footpath after Surya Puja. And I'm chanting Hari Ram, but Radharani, keep me, let me leave your feet. You please keep me as a particle of dust on your feet. So I'm thinking like this, and let me be attached there. I don't have attachment, but I'm praying, oh Hari Ram, give me this asakti. What is asakti? The attachment as a kinkari at your lotus feet. So this is, Hari Ram represents this. Represents Ayananda Tanushakinkaram. Stita Duli Sadrisham Vachintaya. Stita Duli, and Hari Ram, I'm calling, oh Radharani, Hari Ram, this pastime is going on, you're separating, but don't separate from me. Keep me fixed there. Stita Duli, fixed on your feet. Hari Ram, Hari Ram. Right? So it's Hari Ram, and then the next Hari Ram. The next Hari Ram, this is Shayan Leela, right? Apurvan, Shayan Leela. This is 6 o'clock to 8:36. And this second Hari Ram, now at this level, now you're on the level of bhava. So I can't really comment much about that. But I can say that when we're chanting Hari Ram now, because this represents all these ecstasies are there. Tears coming from the eyes and trembling, voice choked up. This second Hari Ram represents that, right? And so this is also represented by, this is Shayan Leela. and Shyamalila, Radha and Krishna, are again separated. Sometimes they come together, bathing in Pavan Sarovar and whatever. But again, although the mantra, they're together, Hari Ram, they're separated. So you see? You know, they're not, because the pastime of Shyamalila, Radharani's in Barsana, and she bathes and she eats, and she prepares to go out to meet Krishna. And Krishna bathes and eats and plays with the boys, so he's separated. So at this point, chanting Hari Ram, then we can only pray that somehow that these feelings, that we can somehow, that these associates of Radharani that are with her in Yavat, you know, feeling that so much separation, that mood of their separation will come through this mantra, Hari Ram, and that mood of their heart will descend through this Hari Ram, and that by that mood, which means bhava, then we can attain the bhava that we're aspiring for. Because only if the bhava from their heart, Rupa Mandri is there, my Guru Sakhi is there, my Guru Parampara is there, everyone's there, and this Hari Ram is that. The second Hari Ram is all of that, is all of this, because they're all experiencing all these divine ecstasies. And only if the light of their bhava shines in our heart will we come realize the fruit of this second Hari Ram. Right? So this is the idea. And next is Ram. Ram, this is seventh yuga. And the seventh Ram, this represents Pradosh Lila. Pradosh Lila is 836 to 1048. Now, this is still Ram Ram. They're like this. They're separated. And the Radharani has learned of the meeting place. And Krishna's, he's going to, during this time, 836, 1048, Krishna's taking rest. He goes to his assembly. He eats some milk, hot milk. He takes rest and he sneaks out. And then they're going to meet now at this time. But this at this level, this is Viparamba Prem. So I don't do much with this. I just chant Ram Ram Hari Hari, because unless the light of bhava comes in the heart, then really you cannot see how to properly do bhajan on a level of Yugayutanameshena or Shilashiva Paravatam Panashtamam. That's what I can understand from my own chanting. So when I chant Ram Ram Hari Hari, then I meditate on these shlokas. And I'm praying, because first the bhava has to come before we can talk about the pralamba or sambhog. Because the Shula Shiva Paravatam represents sambhog prem. And this Yugayatam represents vipralamba prem. Because there's no question of prem until bhava comes. So this is what little bit I'm doing.
It's amazing. I can't call it a system, but it's an amazing.
It's a system in a sense that, as he titles the book, it's Rahasyam. I think that it's not like one, two, do step one, mix the flour with the water. Step three, add salt. Step four, add baking soda. Step five, add sugar. Turn the oven to 350. Put it in the oven. Wait for 20 minutes. Watch it rise. Take it out. Spread the icing. Offer it to Krishna. It's not exactly like making a cake. But the steps, there are steps. The thing is that, I mean, as little as I understand about Bhajan Rahasyam, which is practically nothing, I would like to argue the case that there are steps, but they're extremely Rahasya. So Rahasya, so secret that no one can see them. And these steps have to be, they're almost like telepathic steps or invisible steps that, if one actually has Shraddha in Bhaktivinoda Thakur and faith in this book and tries his best to follow as he's outlining and what little bit we've tried to convey, then Bhaktivinoda himself will say, oh, you're approaching, you want to know the secret? Actually, this is the secret. So this faith I have.
And the book itself is Rahasya unless one hears it properly.
Yes.
So,
but at the same time, that we should hear in Parampara, and especially from advanced devotees who have been doing bhajan with this book for their whole lives, especially. But by sincerely approaching the book, we've heard several tapes from different people in Gaudiya Math discussing these verses and gotten some idea. And obviously with more advanced association we get a more clear idea. But nevertheless, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his, he gives some idea how to begin. And we tried to clarify that in our presentation.
It seems what level you're at, it can give you inspiration to go deeper and how to go deeper.
Yes, that's a very good point. What Maharaj is saying, the level, whatever level we are at the level of Shraddha or Bhajana Kriya or whatever, hopefully Bhajana Kriya, we're actually doing Bhajana Kriya. The teachings of this book can help one go deeper in his practice and rise
and
to a higher level, give inspiration. Yeah, this book is a catalyst. That's what you're saying. This book is a catalyst to further inspire one's realizations, and it gives some shape and format to bhajan. That's the whole idea of it. To give some shape and format. Otherwise, well, I just chant Hare Krishna. Okay, that may be all right, but it may take a long time. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is trying. In other words, he's saying we have to. All these things have to go together because the book is discussing not only the path of bhajan for the bhava bhakta, but the one who has not reached the level of bhava. So the bhava bhakta, he will just basically meditate on the pastimes while chanting the holy name. And by doing that, by entering the pastimes through his meditation and chanting the holy name, then he'll come to the Viparlamba, he'll come to Yugayutam, the Meshena, and the Shulshiva Paravatam, and he will feel the loving embrace of Krishna. Because his bhava will very quickly turn to prema. So there's the bhajan, he's teaching two levels at once, the beginner and the adept.
That's what's amazing about the book. It seems even the pastimes that are given, it's for everyone, but according to your adhikar, you approach it.
Yeah, you'll be able to approach it.
You have some kind of position or relationship to it that moves you towards entering from wherever you're at. But not everybody's in the same position in relation to the pastime. But it does at least, even like you say, for someone in Shraddha, or someone not advanced, or to the higher level, it seems to give one some relationship with the pastime, but in the proper consciousness. I mean, just like, this is my aspiration. I'm not there.
And it's not that, that's a nice point, and it's not that the pastimes are taboo or forbidden. The pastimes are very much encouraged for everyone. And this is another unwritten lesson, you could say, the Bhaktivinoda is telling, that yes, do all these things as much as you can. The pastimes, Shikshastikam, Hainam, chanting the Maha Mantra, and Adoshwaratata Sarasanga. And then weave them all together, and then do bhajan. But it's not that, the pastimes come after 300 years. Right in the beginning, at the level of Shraddha, which is Adi, the beginning and the very beginning of bhakti, Guru Parashraya, having faith to surrender to Guru, the very beginning, pastimes are there. What pastimes? Nishant. What are those? Waking up. What are we doing? Waking up. Our faith is waking up. Our faith in Krishna is waking up. And it's very beautiful, and there's chirping, and there's birds chirping, and the sun is rising, it's bright, it's colorful, it's joyful. Well, that's the awakening of faith is also colorful and joyful, and the birds are chirping, and everything looks brand new. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. This is Shraddha. When one turns his face towards Krishna after being Bahirmukh, then it's like a whole new life. So Nishant Leela will be meditate on that, one's chanting Hare Krishna. He's only a level of Shraddha, but he should meditate on Nishant Leela. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling. And Madhyan Leela, he'll go deep in the Madhyan Leela. That's what he's saying. When one is accomplished fully in Shraddha, and he's actually come to this platform, and he's attained sadhu sangha, then he goes to the next lila. So you see that the actual the intimacy of the lilas of Radha and Krishna in terms of Bhakti Mohan Thakur, one, they become Radha and Krishna's lilas become confidential, intimate at the level of Ruchi, because Ruchi represents Madhyan lila, and Madhyan lila is Radhakan lila, and this is the most confidential, in one sense, bewildering pastimes of God, and his expression of Nara lila, where he has the most intimate and water splashing and drinking liquor and getting intoxicated and stuttering, whoa, 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 world is go, 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 and all kinds of intimate pastimes. So before one can really go there, Bhaktivinoda is saying, stay with Nishant Lila and keep going. Nishant Lila, Nishant Lila. Let your faith wake up, grow up, develop and become very mature, then come under the guidance of sadhus, sadhu sangha, and then do bhajan under them, and then do first and second. And then when we come to Ruchi, Ruchi is a fourth level. This is the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. This is Ruchi, right? It's fourth level. So then let's see. Are you free from the dhanam and janam and all these things? Okay, now enter Madhyan Lila. If not, go back. Go back to a Purvan Lila and more chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And stay there at a Purvan Lila. Then Ruchi comes, okay, now go to Radhakund. But before that, then you might get bitter taste and not sweet taste. Approaching Radhakund Lila, which is Kavitam Sundaram and Dhanam and Janam and so many things. Then we approach this lila without ruchi, then it backfires, then we go for ruchi, we want the ruchi and the dana and the jana and the kavita sundaram. So he's telling in his introduction, he said, do bhajan according to your level, do bhajan, meditate on Chaita Dharpana Marjanam if you're at the level of Shraddha, and approach the Nishant lila. It's safe, it's user friendly. Sometimes people make a blanket statement. No! Just chant Hare Krishna. Don't read any leelas, any pastimes. Forget it. Bond. All these books, bond. Don't read any. This is very narrow-minded. Not Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving proper system. Okay, this leela, Nishant leela. Over and over, just read over and over Nishant leela. Naam, hearing, chanting, remembering pastimes. This is the teaching. And taking shelter of the Shikshastakam, and the supporting verses, and praying for the mercy of Mahaprabhu, and all of his associates, and all the authors of the various verses, and do bhajan, chant Hare Krishna. Well, maybe if we all meet again next year at this place, we will all have different realizations in our bhajan, and because next year we'll start with Ruchi. At least maybe by next year we'll have Ruchi. We would pray that everyone have Nam Ruchi, including ourselves, so then we can progress further and further. Asakti, Asakti, Bhava, Prema, Viparlamba, Prema, Sambhog, Prema. So thank you very much. It's very good that you came here, because there should be some conclusion. So you brought some conclusion.
The
conclusion was that I'm just beginning. Alright, anything more? Bhajan Rahasyam Srimati, or anyone up like?
Just one thing, it's very wonderful that Bhajan Rahasyam calls Bhajan Satir is here. So you have an opportunity to go and beg him.
Yes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan Kutir is here, Swananda Sukhada Kunj. It's not on the other side of Radhakund. One can go there and beg to Bhaktivinoda Thakur that whatever we've heard from his teachings will blossom in our heart and stay with us and remain with us and encourage us and guide us to go deeper and deeper in Nam Bhajan and perceive and receive and follow the various secrets that he's given in Bhajan Rahasyam. So may that all come to pass by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. Thank you very much for coming and giving me your association, and hopefully we can carry on next year. Shri Bhajan Rahasyam Ki Jai. We have a little prasadam. Somebody gave a box of sweets we offered to Giriraj, so we'll give out a little bit. Maybe in December. Maybe I'll send it to